I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 435. One bad Assassin's Creed doesn't spoil the whole bunch.
Yes, it does.
Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey ho.
Who you calling a ho? I told you about that.
Hey girl.
There you go. Much better. I will take a hey girl hey over a hey ho any day, every day, all day, day.
Where the hoes at?
I don't know. I can't keep track of the hoes. I had one eye open just clocking the hose, but it turned out that I was incorrectly doing it. So, hoe watch. I failed. But
I'm part of the neighborhood hoe watch.
No comment. So much going on in the geekosphere this week, from video game stuff and comics and movies. And I got a rant. I got joy and elation, and also sadness, because for everything it seems like the entertainment industry gets right, they then have to immediately turn around and fuck over something else.
What happened now?
All right, so I know you got some things to talk about too. I'm gonna jump off. I have to lead with my rant because this has been pissing me off.
Get it out of your system.
All right,
get it out.
I thank you. I appreciate your support here. So here's the deal. I'm a child of the 80s.
Yes.
Okay. Grew up watching things like Voltron, Thundercats.
Gatchaman?
I wasn't real big on Gatchaman, but I did watch Silverhawks. Like, that was the shit. I thought that was amazing. So I watched, like, a lot of that stuff. G.I. Joe, He-Man, She-Ra, all that stuff.
My Little Pony!
Yes. I also watched Gem. And I loved Gem, the cartoon.
It was truly outrageous?
It was. Basically, like, Gem was, if you could imagine it somehow, like, G.I. Joe for girls. In that, you had a lead character named Jerrica, who basically ends up running her father's music company. So she has to be a business professional. But, like, she's really not a person that wants center stage or anything like that. But the label itself, the company, is not doing really well. And for some reason, she also, I can't remember if it was volunteers or, like, runs an orphanage. And so she has some friends that work with her at the orphanage, and a couple of them are actually orphans, to take care of these kids, and it's part of something that comes from the company. Okay, but the company's about to go under. Her father dies. She inherits the whole thing, and she's lost as to trying to find a way to save the company and keep it the way her father would have wanted it. There's all kinds of people that have additional bands that they're covering and, you know, are swarmy record label types that want to take over the label and basically destroy it. So she's trying to find a way to fight against it, and she's just not doing really well with it. And she receives this letter that is basically from someone, a message that's like, you need to come and see me here so I can show you the final gift that your father has left for you. So she ends up basically going to, like, this old abandoned, like, drive-in and ultimately meets Synergy. And Synergy is basically like this badass holographic computer. And Synergy has the ability to project holograms through somehow these earrings that Jerrica's father made that basically cover and move with motion around her. So she can basically project a hologram on top of Jerrica, making her unrecognizable, making her look like anybody else, and making her sound like everybody else.
So she's got a Kinect talk boy from Home Alone and earrings, if you put them on a blender.
Kind of. So she has magical earrings that allow synergy.
No, she has scientific. It's not magic.
It's science. Well, okay, fine. But there's also a little bit of magic.
Because there's it's a gift from science.
It's a gift from her dead father. So it's got a little magic into it. Okay. But anyway, so synergy basically is like, hey, I can help you. I can support you in any way that you want. And I can project any look that you want at any point in time. So you can sound like other people and all that kind of stuff. So you, if you're very clever, you can figure out a way to do this. But I also know that you're passionate about music just like your father was.
Wait. The computer sent her word about finding itself. It's Skynet. It is Skynet in earring form.
So Synergy projects herself out in like a human type form, but Synergy is not the earrings. She's actually like this big fucking synth computer that like Elton John wishes he had. That's how flamboyant it is. That's just built in this busted ass, broken down old drive-in theater.
Where else would you hide some expensive new age tech? You wouldn't put it in your main office.
So basically, Synergy is able to project a persona on top of Jerrica that allows her to basically create a band, because there's a Battle of the Bands competition that Jerrica figures if she can have a band that's signed to the label win, then she can prove that the label can still produce great talent and she can keep them alive. So she gets her friends together and through Synergy is able to project these badass looking facades onto the girls, and they go and they win. They beat the Misfits, who are basically like a punk rock band. And so they're the anti-Gem, where Gem is like all light pastels and pretty and soft hair in the 80s. The Misfits are basically like a punk band, so they wear like a lot of leopard, and like their hair colors are on neon green and white and orange, and basically they're supposed to be the bad guys. And the rest of the series is them trying to punk, play, and destroy Gem and the holograms. I mean, like, so on the nose.
Right.
What she calls the band. And so her cue to go from Jerrica to Gem, because she doesn't want to be recognized as the lead singer of this group, is that she presses on her earrings and goes, it's showtime, Synergy. And that's when Synergy gets the cue that she needs to change.
Oh my god, so clearly anyone who knows what it was that her dad made clearly knows she has it.
Right. That never pops up in the entire series, by the way.
Clearly not.
Alright, so that in a shell is basically Gem. Like, there are a bunch of battles of the bands. There are always, like, mini music video snippets in the episodes because the Misfits were always singing a song, or Gem and the Holograms were singing a song, and there were capers and there was action for them to can doodle.
Sounds like Glee in the 80s.
Basically, so just a lot more leg warmer, and it was animated. But if you grew up in the 80s and you were a chick, it was basically the anti-Barbie. Right? Because Gem was around after She-Ra had basically faded, so you didn't have a strong female lead character cartoon until Gem.
And also you had, it sounds like, because I mean, I remember tidbits of Gem, but not enough to really jump into the conversation the way that you took to it.
Yep.
But I mean, from the sound of it, I love the fact that we have, you know, we don't have a pure 100% damsel in distress. Like, we have an adult who's got life decisions and knows she needs
like,
to
do something. Jerrica saved her boyfriend a couple of times in episodes. He wasn't running to her rescue. She was going to his.
Well, it's not even that trope. Just, I like the fact that we have, like, you know, okay, she inherited this situation. She's, you know, doesn't have a father. You haven't said anything about a mom yet.
Nope.
So, no parents. We've kind of got a Batman situation where she now has to rise up and, you know.
And she has solid friends behind her that are with her. And, oh, by the way, they're a diverse group. So she has, like, a white friend, a black friend, and an Asian.
But with holograms and better music?
Yes, definitely better music. Okay. I mean, it was 80s stuff, so it was 80s pop. But it was 80s pop that fit.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of promise here. And I mean, and I know that back when the hype was going around.
Oh, it was so kitschy. It's so kitschy.
But I remember when, like, the news was going around that a movie was being made. Like, I don't think I've ever come across so many people who were like, seriously, don't fuck this. They fucked it.
That's what I'm getting to. They fucked it.
Because, like, when I saw, like, the, not necessarily the trailer, but when they were showing, like, some stills of, like, the up-close of, like, Jerrica's face.
I was so pumped about the stills. But the trailer came out.
Oh, no.
Yep. So here's what I have to say about Jem, okay? And I'm stealing a line that I saw a friend of mine write on Facebook because it is absolutely the perfect way to describe it. Do you remember the Josies and the Pussycats live action movie?
Yes.
It looks like Citizen Kane compared to what they've done with this Jem movie.
Get the fuck out.
And it's more accurate and true to the origin than Jem is. So number one, there's no synergy. Number two, she has a mom. Number three, no holograms. No holograms ever. She's just a girl who likes to make music, but she doesn't want all the fame. And her sister Kimber tapes her, basically, singing a song when she's, like, wearing a wig or whatever, so you can't really, like, tell that it's this supposedly dreary-looking chick who they basically just gave her, like, soft, curly brown hair to make her less attractive, which I take offense to. But she uploads it to YouTube. A bunch of people see it, including Juliette Lewis, who plays the skeevy record type at this label, and signs the girl and her friends to the label to put out more music, and just gives them a makeover. Again, no holograms here. Gives them a makeover to make them look different, and then basically poisons Jerrica to be a solo artist, so she abandons her friends midway through
the whole thing. Wait a minute. It sounds like a horrible Bratz movie.
Yep, exactly.
And the Bratz movies were already terrible.
Yep, that's what they did. They turned Jem into a Bratz movie.
I don't.
I'm like, you can't have, like, the whole excitement about the Jem movie was you're going to have the hologram stuff. So you're going to have, like, tech intertwined with, like, a pretty girl transformations. No, you're not. You're not going to have any of that. She also has a mom. So you don't have her doing, like, any independent, really, stuff for herself. No running of a record label. So there's no back and forth. There's also a conundrum in the series where, like, at one point, both Jem, I'm using air quotes, and Jerrica are dating the same dude.
Wait, wouldn't
Yeah, he's cheating on Jerrica with Jem.
But
And wait, to his wait, knowledge, wait, they wait, don't know wait, about it, wait, but it's the same wait, girl. Wait. And she lets it happen.
Wait. I'm losing you here. So, Synergy is an AI.
Yes.
That's using the hologram technology to, to
project a new look. And
the ability to make Jerrica look like any bitch in the world.
So she projects herself, because, like, for the majority of, I think it's like the first season, she can't leave the drive-in. So she projects herself to look like a person, purple hair, as soon as she was badass, by the way. So that Jerrica doesn't freak out and be like, I'm talking to a synthesizer. Eventually, Synergy works out more tech because she's an AI and she does evolve. Right. And is able to create a car that she's put her tech in so she can project outside and beyond the earrings different things, which comes in handy for sometimes when, like, some people are getting close to figuring out that Jem is Jerrica, so she uses the card to, like, project Jem, like, running into the bushes and stuff, and people are like, oh, well, Jerrica's here, and there's Jem, so they can't be the same person. Let's all go talk to Jerrica. And then she, like, dives in a bush and nobody can find her. Because of that and some other things, Jerrica's boyfriend cheats on her with Jem. He's seeing both Jem and Jerrica, even though they're the same person. He doesn't know that they're the same person, and Jerrica dates him.
He willingly decided to be unloyal.
Yes,
to
yes,
Jerrica
yes,
for Jem.
Yes, yes, and sees them both at the same time. And Jem is just like, well, there's just certain ways that I feel with him when I'm Jem versus when I'm Jerrica. And I'm like, all right,
No, bitch.
But we don't have to worry about
that. Works.
We don't have to worry about any of that in the movie because there's no holograms. So
I'm sorry.
She's just in makeup or not in makeup.
Doesn't sound like a Jem movie to me.
No, it's not. It's not a Jem movie. They basically
maybe
turned it into Divergent with music.
Maybe what they're gonna do is do this movie and then do another movie where mom dies. And then Jerrica finds out that she's actually the heir.
They've blown the wad. They're not going to get another movie because the internet has spoken, and everybody who grew up watching this thing and was so excited for it, no, you do not get my money. I have even seen memes with Fry just looking with no money in his hands, like, yes, you will not take my money, is the meme.
Wow, internet. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I wasn't rushing out of the gates to go see it, but I was obviously hoping that they were going to do it some justice.
No justice, no peace, no justice, like, no justice. I'm done.
I mean,
rebooted the comic book because they were like, oh, we'll have the movie tie-in, it'll be great.
If they don't have corresponding canon.
Correct. The comic book, to my knowledge, because I haven't actually picked up one, but I'm fairly certain that the Jem comic, looking at the cover and a couple of images I've seen on the web, does in fact have holograms and stick to canon. So now you have a comic book that is close to canon and a movie that is not.
What?
That nobody is going to see now.
No, see, that
and
really
it stars nobody that anybody knows, so.
But I mean, I loved Juliette Lewis. Like,
Juliette Lewis is the bomb. Like, she's the only name in the movie.
And, well, that's the thing. Like, when they first were saying, like, who was going to be involved, the minute I heard Juliette Lewis, granted, at this point, she's in my mind, I feel like she looks maybe a little too old. So I thought maybe, potentially, she was going to be, like, a misfit.
Yep.
Kind of like,
I thought for sure she'd be a misfit. She's done, like, band work.
Well, that's
like
that. She's done that. And she was also in Whip It. That was roller derby. And, like, her character was very raw. And had, like, that edge to her.
Yeah.
And she could totally pull that shit off.
Absolutely.
So I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, can't see her as Jem.
I think pretty much, sure, Panda, that, like, everybody on the internet thought that she was just going to be a misfit. And that's where the tension was going to come in, because the Misfits were going to be, like, a somewhat older band that was, like, really trying to hang on to their fame. And here comes the young upstart, and that's where the beef came through. So at least that's what I thought was going to happen.
That makes a movie. Tension makes a movie.
Okay.
And
nope.
From the sound of it, it doesn't look like this movie has much tension.
It's
a girl who has a mom who does everything for me. Yeah. And I like to sing, but I don't want people to see me sing, so
I'm just gonna sing.
I'm gonna let my sister videotape me. There's already holes in the plot.
It's so bad. So I'm so fucking done, and I'm pissed about the Jem movie. I'm not seeing it. I urge you all not to see it because it's bullshit.
Go see Pitch Perfect 2 instead.
Yeah. Which, I've heard people are not, like, crazy happy about Pitch Perfect 2, but guess what? Guess what? I'm pretty sure they represented their canon.
You know what? You know what? Fuck both of those movies. Go see Mad Max.
Mad Max.
Mad Max.
Yeah, Mad Max.
I've heard phenomenal things about it.
You should go see Mad Max.
I'm seeing it this weekend.
Or buy Kingsman. It's out on digital.
I mean,
I have nothing.
All those other things. In fact, you could take a pencil, shove it up your nose, no, and do like no, total no, recall don't, thing and pull out that red bug thing, and you'll enjoy that better than potentially seeing
don't
the gem.
Don't stick a pencil up your nose. We do not advocate sticking a pencil up your nose.
Take a sock.
What we no? Will you stop with the takings of the things? We already told them what to do.
Up your butthole,
Panda. Panda. There, stop it with the putting things.
Gem movie.
Panda, stop it with the putting things in other things. Just stop it. Okay? We already told them what to do. Watch Kingsman, your life will be better. Go see Mad Max, your life will be better. Freaking yep. Marathon Arrow
put
on Netflix.
In a bowl, go to your
Panda,
media.
I'm going
to
turn your mic off.
Anything else than the Gem movie.
Panda, I will turn your mic off.
No!
Stop telling people to put things in things. So that's my rant. They
put your
fucked
face
it.
Into
I,
a bowl
I,
and
Panda,
take
a- I'm a minute away from pulling your mic. I have asked them not to fuck it. They went ahead and fucked it anyway.
And they fucked it, and they didn't even give her a nice seafood dinner.
No. No. Took her to Old Country Buffet. Didn't even spring for,
didn't
like...
Didn't even get the all-you-can-eat good buffet. He nope. bought a single plate for $10.99.
Yep. So, that's my rant. I'm sticking to it. Fuck that movie. I will not see it. I will not buy it in iTunes when it goes direct to digital, and it will. And oh, I'll have nothing to do with it. Even when it hits Netflix, like, I'm so no. I would rather watch Equestria Girls again.
I have no words for that.
Yep. So that.
I would rather watch Josie and the Pussycats back to back with only extreme close-ups of Tara Reid. I would just want to listen to the Melanie show. Because I remember that one of the Pussycats, the blonde,
yes.
her name was like Melanie.
Yes. Yes.
I actually did not hate.
I didn't hate Josie and the Pussycats. I didn't
like,
hate it.
I appreciated what they were trying to do, like trying to make them more modern.
It was so much better than the Spice Girls movie.
I completely agree.
The Spice Girls movie is probably better than the Gem movie.
And, I mean, I love the fact, who was it? Was it Rosario Dawson? Is that who they had for Valerie in that movie?
I believe...
I think it was Rosario Dawson.
I think it was. Like, they had... And they had Rachel...
Leah Cook as Josie. And they had Tara Reid as Melanie. And it worked for what they were trying to do. Like, I appreciated it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. If you went on my Spotify, you'd probably find three songs from the Josie and the Pussycats soundtrack somewhere.
I know I'd find three songs from the Josie and the Pussycats soundtrack.
You might find more, but you'd have to be really looking. And if you knew all of the songs that were there, you would have to acknowledge that you yourself have also listened to all of them. But we're not here to talk about Josie and the Pussycats, but I hope that going through all of this has allowed you to exercise some of your demons, Ninja.
I have exercised some. I mean, I have more... For sure, but we don't have that kind of time on this podcast.
We don't have enough, there's not enough hours in the day.
There's not. But, to bring the mood back, because I want to bring positivity. I don't just want to be shitting all on somebody else's art, because, you know, people spent time and effort making this thing. I feel poorly about that, but they did. So, I don't want to shit all over it. So, let's talk about things that I'm not shitting on.
Okay, like toilets?
No. I don't shit on toilets. I shit in toilets.
Shit in toilets.
Yeah. But, one thing that I'm not shitting on right now is Assassin's Creed. So, you know, the road...
Like after?
No. Listen. So, we talked last week about ramping up for E3 and how the hype train has started. Get prepared. We're going to be talking about E3 a lot, all the way up to going and covering the show.
Okay,
and not to be outside of the hype train or anything, but Ubisoft started sending out invitations to their media briefing for E3, and they dovetailed that with releasing the trailer for Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which is the next Assassin's Creed game coming out for new consoles. And they've also talked a little bit about their new strategy. They're going to be focusing on console. Mobile's not completely done for them, but they're focusing on console first, PC second. Which is interesting. So you will have the new Assassin's game on Xbox One and PlayStation 4, new consoles, and it will come to PC later. Not to be the only people on the hype train and getting excited about E3 over here, being the team from ESH, obviously, but Ubisoft started sending out their invitations for their media briefing for E3 this week and dovetailed that with releasing a trailer for Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which is their next Assassin's Creed game. UB is going to be focusing on consoles moving forward, so and the new consoles as well. So the game is going to be available on current-gen consoles, so that'd be the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, and then down the road, they will then port and release for PC. So, previous gen, not so much for now, which makes sense.
Right.
You know, the world is moving towards the present now, especially as people are getting more and more excited about things like HoloLens and the motion piece on the PlayStation side of the world. So that's cool. That's and all. And then, so I sat down and I watched the trailer for Syndicate because I've made no bones about it. I love the Assassin's Creed franchise.
Oh, it's your favorite franchise in the whole world.
It's one of my favorite franchises, I'd have to say.
And that's only because Destiny's not a franchise yet.
Correct. but also, I would say that Uncharted is up there. And with the stuff that they're doing with the new rebooted Tomb Raider, I would definitely put the new Tomb Raider franchise, the Uncharted franchise on that list, as well as Assassins as being one of my favorite franchises. And I would also put Grand Theft Auto on there. I enjoyed the GTAs. This last one was a bit much for me. There's just so much to do.
I'm surprised that you got through as much of 4 as you did.
You mean 5?
No, I mean 4.
Oh, I killed 4. I fucking love 4.
I know. I'm surprised.
Nico Bellic was my homie.
You want to go bowling, cousin?
Nico Bellic. Let's go bowl. I loved Nico. Anyway.
I know you did. I'm surprised. I didn't even finish 4.
Yeah, I know. I finished 4, and I did most of the DLC. I didn't finish the
Gay Tony.
Yeah, I didn't finish the Ballad of Gay Tony, but I got through most of it. So, but anyway, watch the trailer, and I have to say, it looks good. Just
I mean,
like
I think the debut trailer is still kind of rough, a little bit.
Well, I mean, and they put out some pre-alpha gameplay footage to show off like how things moved in game, and it looks good. But I have to say that the previous Assassin's game, which we know had some issues, okay, looked just as good. Okay,
I can't remember its name. What was it?
Assassin's Creed, Money Grab?
funny. No, but really. Wasn't Black Flag was after that. Was that not Liberation?
No.
Rogue? No.
Nope. Keep going.
I don't remember. I'm legitly asking.
Unity.
Oh, okay. See? That's so memorable of us.
Oh, that like hurt. Yeah, so Unity.
That's with all the colored chests that were annoying the fuck out of you, right?
Yes, because you would find them and then be like,
go through your tablet and then they'd be unlocked for you to get.
You had to go through your tablet and you had to play a game. You had to play a series of games, basically mini games, and most of them were memory games of like use your senses to find the symbols. And if you can't find all the symbols in enough time, well, then you can buy some more time to try and find all the symbols on the building. And if
you
found them all,
yourself and yeah, move on.
Exactly. They fixed that in the end, but still. So Syndicate looks really good. The thing about Syndicate that I'm most interested in is the time period that it takes place in. So if you remember, I can't remember what the name of the movie is. It was the Gangs of New York.
Loved Gangs of New York. Daniel Day-Lewis is my shit.
Basically, Syndicate is Gangs of New York.
Yeah, I know. I watched the debut trailer.
And so that's enticing to me because it looks like our hero is not a true hero.
He's a Byronic hero. He's a dark hero. He's ambiguously gray.
Yes.
And obviously,
ambiguously gray.
I would actually say he's probably like Robin Hood, but a little bit more evil. So, like, he definitely plays to the darker tone of things, but for what is perceived via the trailer, for a better good.
For a greater good.
Self.
Yeah. So, I'm interested to see how that works and how that will play out.
And hey, we're getting a girl!
Yeah. So, you know, so there are a lot of people that are talking like, oh, it basically looks like Yubi took a list of things that people complained about Unity and tried to address them in this game. And there are some people that are shitting on that. I don't agree with that. I think that, you know, if they've taken the feedback that they got from their community, who, let's face it, the Assassin's community is dedicated. Like, when you look at just the cosplay landscape right now, there's a lot of Assassin's Creed in it, including crossover. And that's when you really know that you have a franchise that's resonating with people. So I think that it's a good move and a smart move. And as long as they've taken out some of the bullshit things that they put in Unity that just don't make sense.
Like
having crate chests that you can only get through a companion app, or anything going on in the game that you can only get through a companion app. People don't want that. They just don't. I don't want to be forced into a companion app to progress my game. Or, you know, if you want to create a companion app that allows me to do additional things outside of it that might benefit me, that's great. But don't make my completion of a level or my completion of the game dependent on a companion device. So as long as they don't do that, and as long as I have a character that I can feel endeared to, because in all honesty, I really haven't felt endeared to any character since Ezio Auditore. So hopefully our new boy here will make
Well, it's not just a boy. We've got a duo. We have a brother-sister duo.
True, true. So hopefully their characters are written well and the action is written well, and faces don't disappear, and chests don't require me to download a third app onto my iOS device and play puzzle games in order to open up a chest that I have to then go back on the map and track down to then also spend my precious lockpicks on to open. So as long as it doesn't do those things, I think that Yubi will win me back with Assassins, because Syndicate does look really good.
And I mean, I honestly hope that with this brother-sister duo, like, I know this is Assassin's Creed, so it's really kind of cookie-cutter in basically on what the gameplay is kind of going to be like and what the encounters are kind of going to be like. But I kind of hope, since we're getting this brother and sister duo, that maybe, I don't know if you'll play as one more than the other, or you'll be able to switch out and be able to do multiple things. I'd love to see them implement a duality between play. You know, like maybe the brother is going to be better at certain things than the sister is going to be, and vice versa. And like the sky is the fucking limit here. And please don't make this like a big brother, little sister thing where like she's just following because he's family. Like, give them each distinctive personalities. Like, make them people. Because, I mean, if you're going to go to Victorian London, there were certainly enough personalities. I mean, what year? I think it was like 1886? 1868?
Let's go with 1886.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know the order. Why not?
Right, exactly. Like, this is going to happen before. And I just started watching the Biffle play that. I haven't had a chance to play it. He's borrowing it now. But it looks amazing. I can't wait to get my hands on it.
The Order is a gorgeous game. The Order is an absolutely gorgeous game. Hopefully, Yubi will get me back and in their good graces. Because I did fall out of love with them for a little bit. Like,
oh, I know.
Like,
and
we
so
had,
do our listeners. They really know.
It's the first Assassin's game in a long time that I haven't completed the story on.
Wow.
I've completed every Assassin's game since 2.
Even Liberation?
Yeah, I completed Liberation.
Wow.
I had to get it on my console because I was not about to buy a Vita to play Liberation. So I had to wait for them to port it. But I take that back. I have not played Chronicle.
Okay.
Which is the Chinese
one. All right. Well, at least you're willing to admit that.
Yeah, so I have not played Chronicle. And that's just because I haven't had a chance to actually sit down on my Xbox. I have it. I just haven't played it.
You have it. Okay.
But I will, and more than likely I will complete it. So there's that. And then, like I said before, for E3, for me, if they give me a damn date for Beyond Good and Evil 2, then we'll be the bestest of friends forever and ever, and all will be forgiven.
Okay.
So there's that. And then, you know, again, for hype train stuff coming, some things that are not E3 hype. We've got The Witcher 3 getting ready to drop. Drops on the 19th.
And all that racism.
Oh, my God. So much going on in Witcher.
It is so big.
I don't know that Witcher is a game that you ever really complete.
I don't think so either.
I feel like you could just wander the game and never, ever, ever do anything that literally moves you along. And there are probably going to be a chunk of people that do that just to see how far in the world that they could go and awesome. What they could do. So I'm looking forward to The Witcher 3 a lot. I won't be playing it on the 19th because the House of Wolves DLC for Destiny drops on the 19th. Yep.
Alert the media, and then just talking about Destiny again.
We are the media, so you don't have to alert anybody.
Alert me
yourself.
That ninjas. Someone alert me.
Yep. I will say that I do like the update that they've recently done to their companion app. So if you are a Destiny player, I highly recommend that you get the companion app. Especially if you have an iOS device, because the recent update that they've done actually makes it boot faster. And be usable for, like, reading announcements and whatnot, because it was kind of not usable for that for the longest time. You can also, from the companion app, lock and unlock equipment to make sure that you don't accidentally discard things that you don't mean to, which is really nice. You can also do it within game, but you can, from the companion app, lock things. You can also, from the companion app, equip any of the gear that you have on you that you're carrying, which is really nice. So I can be sitting in my game and playing my hunter and know that my crew is getting ready to run a raid, and through the companion app, go and equip various things for my Titan. So when I switch over characters, they're already equipped and I can just bounce in. So that's kind of nice. And I can also move things directly from my characters to the vault in the companion app now. So the companion app is actually kind of useful, and not just for showing off, like, what gear you're carrying or what your kill-death ratio is. So definitely pick it up. Totally, totally worth it. So that's what I got. That's it.
Okay.
My stuff.
All right.
I've done Zord.
Okay. Wonderful.
What do Great. You have?
I've got a few small things that I hope will all equal out in the end. I have not been watching a lot of new stuff. I'm really kind of in the middle of, like, my favorite three shows.
Which are?
Currently right now, I'm watching the Utapri season 3. Maji Love Revolutions. It took me a bit because I was like, I don't want to see any more pretty boys fall in love with this pretty much blind-looking girl who just happens to write music all the time.
Right.
But I was like, I kind of want to know what's going on. So I've fallen into that. They've released another season of Nesekoi, the fake love one. So I've been watching that, even though now there's like four keys in the mix. And I'm like, okay, bitches, were you guys all on the hillside with keys and locks and shit? Like, what is going on?
Well, you know what I've picked up on that? Is basically, have you seen the episode with her mom coming around Christmas?
No. All right,
let me shut up.
Okay, so I'm just like...
I'm just saying, I'm not ruining it for you, because you're not ruining Ultron for me.
Thank you. I appreciate, because I'm not. I haven't. I've been very good. But, like, I've just gotten to a point now where I'm just like, all these bitches got keys. Like, now, like, he walks down to the convenience store, and, oh, here's another chick who's eerily looking at him, and, oh, no, she's got a key. Like, bitch, just pick one. If it doesn't work, get a locksmith and call it a day.
Yeah, bitches be coming out of the woodwork.
Like, they're all just kind of seeping out of, like, they're, like...
You need to hurry up and get caught up, though, so we can talk about
okay.
it.
Okay. So, I mean, but I just started that because they opened up that season. And I've been watching fucking Food Wars, like, religion, because every time...
Yeah, you're going to have to make me some Dawn.
Oh, my God. Yep. So...
I want beef Dawn. I'm just letting you know.
For one, the minute that he did that, I'm like, okay, so I need to get a sirloin. I need to cut slices in it.
You need honey.
And I have it. I'm like, get so much onion to tenderize that meat. And, like, as he's watching, I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, I could do that. I'm like, I'm not the best with rice, but you have a rice cooker. So, yep. like,
but, no, like, legit, you need to make me some Dawn. Some
well, I just recently saw the episode where he found, where he goes to the Shogeki.
Yeah.
Against the blonde American
yep.
chick with big boobs.
Yep.
And, like, spoilers, he wins.
Yep.
And, like, it's the most over-the-top food porn I think I've ever watched in my life.
And you obviously have not been on Tumblr.
No, no. I have learned my lesson. But the show, and I mean, I've talked about the show already several times because it's just that impactful.
It's fun. It's fun.
It's fun. It makes you feel like you if he can do it, it makes it look
It does. Expensive. It does make you feel like you could cook.
Well, it does because, like, literally after that first episode, I'm like, I could make that gotcha pork. And I have. Like, I figured it out. I haven't done the second one, though, with the gelatin beef broth and the egg over the rice yet.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain compound you need to make that gelatin, and it's not gelatin, it's something else. And I'm like, yeah, I could order that from Japan for their...
Or you could just skip that one and make me some beef Dawn. Like, okay. I don't understand what you're or not understanding.
The macro that he does when he first gets to the
no,
door.
No, you don't really need to do the macro. What you need to do is make me the beef Dawn. I don't understand why you're having such a problem.
I haven't even made it for myself yet, so I don't...
No, but you need to make me the beef Dawn. Because you already made the gotcha pork for you twice. You made the gacha pork for yourself twice, so you owe me beef Dawn.
It's fucking delicious. You will love it.
I'm just saying, you owe me beef Dawn.
But anyway, so I think it's like episode 7
yeah.
that I'm to right now in Food Wars. And it just got even better with the simple fact that he is such a rogue hero, our protagonist in this series.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's really, even though he... That first day of school, he was literally like, I'm vying for top spot because I've got this issue with my old man. It's nothing to do personal with any of you guys. But I feel like for him, through going to this school, for one, he's going to make actual friendships.
Yep.
That's really going to make him grow into the chef that he imagines that he already is and his father knows he will grow to be.
Yep.
And then they're going to have, like, a final cook-off.
And I'm also pretty sure that his father went to that school.
And I think his father dominated.
Yep.
So he's like, if my son can do it, then I will, you know, acknowledge him and his need to be a cook. And if the boobies wobble anymore, like, the boob physics in this game don't make sense to me. And I'm a woman who has boobs.
You do, in fact, have boobs.
And, like, when I cook and, like, I'm bent over like a soup pot, like, they don't undulate like that. Like, I mean... Yeah, they don't. They're not moving. Like they're just comfortably in the sweater, just hanging out. Like, just don't pour hot soup on us, please. Like, they're not just. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't understand why it is. It's sexy, I guess, to see things move. But
yeah, jiggly bits.
I mean,
jiggly bits always win.
Apparently so, but so I've been catching up on all those, but. I was going through some emails and stuff, and I was looking up some articles because I like to be somewhat prepared, at least, when we're doing the show. And E3, like you've mentioned this episode and last episode, it's pretty much around the corner. I won't be going this year because I'm broke as fuck, but that's okay because I'm still going to be able to cover it and talk to you guys about everything that we're going to see from the comfort of our couches.
Yep.
With that said... like you said, you know, invitations have been flying out for certain press conferences, and, you know, I'm a big Square Enix fan, and usually anything that comes out of Square Enix, I want my hands all over it, like, you know, the Strange Life game that
yep.
had that really great and interesting photography.
Life is Strange, yep.
Love it, I want it. But anyway, so Square Enix actually announced that, obviously they're having a press conference and some of their invitations have been going out, but, you know, we know Nintendo's got something up its giant red and white and red and, it's red, white, green, you know, pink sleeves. Like, we know that there's some big stuff that is presumably being revealed at this year's Nintendo. Look,
Nintendo is probably going to bring it really hard.
They're aiming to get back favor this year. But so to avoid conflict with Nintendo, Square Enix decided to move their press release by their press event by an hour, which I don't know about. I don't know what made them think an hour was going to be enough. Only because people are, depending on what they decide to show at the end of the Nintendo presser, mm-hmm. people may not be willing to get out of their seats and then hop on a shuttle to take them to wherever Square Enix is going to be having their presser. It's kind of a risk that they're taking. I mean, I remember one year that you and I went and we were at the, where were we? I think we were at Ubi. And you had to go to, I think you had to go to get to the Sony one. And you had to leave me at Ubi to go to it. I mean, that obviously made sense. And there were a bunch of people who were getting up. Because obviously, you know, people were anticipating some really big news from Sony. So I don't know if Square has enough on its lineup to justify saying, we want to cut into your Nintendo time because we think we've got something better. You know, like I'm a little,
yeah.
it's a little scary for me. Cause I mean, we all know that they're going to talk about Kingdom Hearts 3 because that's yep. really the biggest thing that they've got going for them. And maybe a little bit about Final Fantasy 15 from the little bits that they've been dropping here and there, but we knew that was coming a couple of years ago. So that's not really the thing. I would love
to. So what is really the thing, Panda?
Well, for me, the thing.
Yeah.
That would, like, drop the panda panties, like, here and now.
Wow.
Like, okay. That Square was like, we're doing it, would be another World Ends With You.
Really?
It really would. That game had great gameplay, had a great soundtrack. It brought a lot of people to the DS. And, you know, and it had such a refreshing concept to it. And I mean, and the game was difficult too. Like, there were some mechanics that I still have a hard time doing now when I go back into my Game Plus playthrough, and I'm a beast at the game, and I still don't have all my pins leveled up because some of them are a bitch. But anyway.
I love how humble you are.
Oh my god.
I'm a beast in the game.
But they're a bitch. But it's been lingering in the back of a lot of people's minds. We knew it was coming because of the way that the World Ends With You ended. Not right. to mention, about 6 months ago, there was a quote-unquote leak of potential characters. And we have a character who looks a lot like Neku from the first game. So clearly they've been thinking about it. And then they just, you know, sewn their mouth shut and didn't say anything. And those would be the two really big things that would, for me, really kind of, I would lose my shit over, would be those two things. But I don't think those two things together are big enough to take on any of the big three, to be honest with you. So, I mean, they could have been a lot safer by holding their conference on a totally different day.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing, you know, there's only so much space in the area and so much time. You know, you've already got Bethesda doing a pre-show, you know, briefing that they're doing on the Sunday, when they sent their save the dates out for. You've got Microsoft popping off on Monday morning. You've got EA going that afternoon. You've got UB going that afternoon, like, you know, right before show pops off. Like, you've already got a pretty damn full fucking week.
And I mean, not everybody who's going press related has like a team of 20 that they can have people devoted to each comp. Like, that's not going to happen. You're going to have a lot of frantic people jumping in and out, hoping to hear some decent news from each drop in that they do in order to make the day worthwhile. But I'm kind of concerned with this choice of theirs because they really, I feel like they're going to get seriously overshadowed, and any really great news is going to get eaten up by whatever comes out of any of the big three and Ubi. Because Ubi's probably the next in line to be part of the big three if something ever happens to any of them.
No, I think EA's going to kind of has that spot. Just from the sheer volume of the sports games, you know. True.
Okay.
I mean, so they just...
But I was just pretty surprised by that move. And I mean, I kind of wish them the best because, you know, like I said, I'm a big fan of their...
Square Enix needs a win.
They seriously... Don't get me wrong. The Life is Strange game was a refreshing change of pace for them, but it's not game... It's not game-changing.
It's not a kingmaker.
It's not enough. And they seriously, with the dwindling numbers that they've had, they need to pull pretty much... They need to take over.
We've talked about this before. They got real, real comfortable and complacent in that Final Fantasy was the franchise that, you know, was the cow that kept on giving.
Final Fantasy VII. Bullshit. Sorry, fans of Final Fantasy VII. I said it.
It's not just that, but I think that they trusted that they could put the words Final Fantasy on anything.
Final Fantasy Cooking Mama for the 3DS.
And as long as you had, like, big production summons, that the community would stay happy. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of other people started creating big production action-adventure titles that weren't turn-based, that had just as good quality as the Final Fantasy games visually, and they surpassed them.
True.
I think, like, that's what really killed Final Fantasy, because for the longest time, the pinnacle of when you asked anybody, what's the most amazing-looking game that you've ever played, and the longest game that you've ever played, the answer was always a Final Fantasy title. Now, that answer for most people is Dragon Age Inquisition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I usually go through that game like a beast, and I still haven't even really started my second playthrough of that. I was like, I'm done.
Like, so this is what I'm saying. Like, think so about that. But think about the scale of the economy, right? It used to, like, unequivocally, across the gamesphere, the answer was always a Final Fantasy game.
True.
What was the last Final Fantasy game you played?
Do I really want to say this out loud?
Yes, you do. You're gonna do it for the podcast.
I got the Final Fantasy X-2 remake. And I got halfway through Final Fantasy X before saying nope. And then I thought about going back to Final Fantasy XIII-2, but like I've mentioned on this show several times, because of the whole Paradox engine that they have in the game, like, you're going through time, you're going back to the future, and you have to be paying attention, you have to remember what you're doing, or you get stuck. I don't remember what the fuck I was doing. Like, 25-year-old Panda was like, we're gonna go do this thing, and now 30-year-old man is like, what the fuck?
I can't remember what I was doing, so I'm
And it's stuck. Like, do I start over? Fuck, no, you don't.
No, not with those paradox. I remember you plotting, like, taking notes and, like, okay, I'm gonna do this.
I'm gonna talk to this guy.
I remember you, because, like, you had it, the freaking book.
Yeah, and the book didn't even help. And it's like, oh, let me go save Hope from this timeline so that he could be influential to me in this timeline, but now I've made this horrible boss monster in this area that has no protection. Let me go back there, and don't even get me started on Lightning Returns, because I utterly refuse to buy and endorse that game. But
I'm not starting you on it. You know, the landscape has changed, and I think that Square really needs a win. I think that Kingdom Hearts will be a win for them. I think that part of the reason that they've been very quiet is that, you know, the landscape at Disney has changed. So I cannot believe in any universe that exists on this planet that you don't have Star Wars incorporated into Kingdom Hearts 3 at this point.
Oh my God, could you imagine?
Leia is a Disney princess. So
now I'd imagine, we'll see, but at the point that we're hitting 3 now, like, the original lore that was going on in Kingdom Hearts with the princesses and stuff. Like, I wonder if they're going to somehow try to retie that around, because, yes, we know Kyrie was a princess. That Kyrie should have been a princess, but neither should have Alice. And I'm not going to go into that because it gets me so angry. And I've had this rant before.
Yes, you have.
But maybe somehow with this new thing, they'll be able to go into that realm, the Star Wars realm, and Leia will be like, yeah, I'm a princess, but I can handle my own. I don't need you to protect me. Yep. It's like, by the way, here's the Keyblade. I had it up my dress this whole time.
There's so much more that's involved now in the Disney universe. You've got Frozen that's involved in the Disney universe. You've got Brave that's involved.
Like, I'm actually seriously, like, done. Like, I am O-V-E-R it. Like, so done.
Yeah, until two comes out, and then you see it and be like, wait,
oh my God,
I might be back.
Fever. I'm going to sing all the songs.
Yeah, basically, you are.
I'm going to buy the soundtrack.
Just accept it. So I hope that, you know, Square has a win, just like you, because they need it. And I don't know, outside of Kingdom Hearts, really, like, what they could bring to the table.
Well, I mean,
that would be it for me.
Is Square Enix involved in the Lara Croft reboot? Aren't they involved, or is that Deep Silver? I always get them confused.
So it's not Deep Silver. The reboot is Crystal Dynamics and EA.
Oh, damn you, EA. Damn you in the face.
And the piece that Square has was the older stuff, the Osiris, so the mobile Google download. They had that piece.
Oh, okay.
If I remember correctly.
But when I saw that pop up, I was kind of interested. To finish this off a little bit, I actually played with some quote unquote tech lately.
What?
Yes, and I know I'm not.
You don't
normally,
do the gadgets.
Not often. I don't, because
hardly ever.
Unless you give it to me and you've already done a review, I don't tend to touch new things.
And there are some things that I've given you, and you were going to do a review, and then a year later, it still wasn't published.
Yeah,
that's
happened too. But and I know that once when I bring this up, you're probably going to be like, really? You've involved yourself with this, but only slightly. Because as we all know, you and VR are not friends.
I know. Hold on. I'm not clamoring for VR.
Right. You don't hate that it exists, but you're not going to jump in line.
Just
to buy,
like, I hated 3D TVs. I don't hate VR.
Okay. Well, so I'm currently living in a split tech home. There's my Apple stuff, and there's some non-Apple stuff. And coexistence has happened. And I do play a lot more mobile games now, because me and the Biffle do quite a bit in between who's going to use the big TV.
Oh, and also, I think you were correct. I think Square Enix was the publisher for the reboot. I'm thinking EA and Eidos for the previous Tomb Raiders.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought so. I thought they had some involvement.
Yep. You're right.
But anyway... but one day this box showed up at the house, and the Biffle was quite excited to get it. And inside was, this thing called Google Cardboard, which at first I thought was just some, like, high quality paper that had, like, the Google symbol on it. And maybe had, like, a chip in it.
So you thought that maybe you were, like, Cards Against Humanity bullshitted?
Or, like maybe I thought it was, like, I think I initially thought it was, like, playing cards, like, what's that game that we all love to play? Cards Against Humanity, but with, like, some augmented reality type thing in it. Because, like, it's simple, and it was all, you know, foldy and origami-like. And all of a sudden, I see it, and it looked kind of like the viewfinder that I had back in the 80s, except it didn't have the Mickey ears. You remember my viewfinder that I had that was, like, the Mickey face?
It was bomb, yes.
I loved that thing. I wish I had never gotten rid of it or lost it in
Me
the
too.
Whole of the house. But anyway.
Me too.
But, like, it looks like a viewfinder, except it doesn't have, like, the little thing that you would use to feed the reel through to
look
at pictures. And I was like, what is that? And he was like, oh, you should check this out. And he currently had a game running in it that he was experiencing in it. And I took it over and experienced it for, like, maybe 10 minutes before, like, I screamed like a baby, because he was playing a horror game with it called Sisters, which literally you're a person, because you don't know who you are, and you are in this house. And when you go through the house, you first encounter a room where there are these two identical twin-looking dolls. And as you proceed through the house, eventually you start finding out that you go back to that particular room over and over again. And all of a sudden, both dolls aren't there. Now it's just one. and all of a sudden she's crawling on you, or you sit on a couch and she's sitting on the couch with you, and like, and you're holding, because I mean, you can get the strap and strap it to your head if you want, kind of like the Oculus Rift type deal, and you can do that, or you can hold it up and, you know, damage your tech through fear, because that's what almost happened. I literally ended up throwing it away from my face when the jump scare came. And I mean, while I do not have the funds to really back VR, from that experience alone, and, you know, having some experience playing with things that used Oculus Rift at like PAX East and stuff like that, I could see where certain people would definitely jump in line to enjoy games that had a more immersive feel. Mm-hmm. I personally nearly threw up when I had my playthrough of Elite Dangerous with the Oculus.
I remember.
It was not a pleasurable experience. I don't take motion shift very well, apparently, and that's fine. But something like this where, you know, you don't have to be strapped into it unless you choose to, gives you that ability to pull out of it and obviously keep yourself from barfing. But there are several games that are available on the iOS that allow you to do VR stuff if you have a Google Cardboard or anything similar to it. I was looking at prices because I was kind of concerned. I was very curious as to how much something like this that isn't like nearly as heavy and tech intense as the Oculus Rift would be would cost. And some people have been getting them for up to, I think, one that was like jet black of this for like $25. Some people are reselling them for a little bit under that. But I mean, if you were curious about if you could even use something similar to Oculus Rift in the future, this could be an inexpensive way to get your foot through the VR door.
That's pretty doggone interesting.
I was very surprised. And I had another friend who was over play with it for a bit, and his mind was just blown, like just splattered on the wall next to my Biffle's Game of Thrones puzzle that he framed. It was intense. Very intense.
It sounds intense.
So, but if you're in the market for that and you're kind of trying to figure out where you really stand on something like that, like I said, this is fairly, for me, for what the capabilities are, a very ineffective, or not ineffective, a very inexpensive way of, you know, like I said, exposing yourself to what a potential side path to gaming could be for you in the future.
That's really cool. You know, there are a lot of things that I think Google gets right. And there's the innovation, and there's so many things that they get wrong. Like, so many things that they get wrong. Like, tying Google Plus to fucking YouTube. Oh,
yeah.
So wrong. You know, like, you know, that kind of stuff. But that sounds really interesting. I think the only other thing that I have really quickly that I want to touch on is just the big ups that I want to give out before we wrap for the show. So I've been getting loot crates from the loot crate people for quite some time now, because who doesn't like swag, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And for the first time in a year, I actually had a loot crate that didn't get to me. And typically when you go to like loot crate's website, their information is like, oh, you got a package that says it was delivered. Check with your post office because we can't do anything from this end. And so I was really pissed when I read that because I was like, yeah, my post office is going to say right now we delivered it. Like, there's no way. And you live in, you know, a not great city, so probably somebody took it. So I was really upset. And so I sent out just like the simplest little tweet about it, because I'm like most children. Whenever I'm upset about something, I go to my social media and I complain about it. And I didn't want a vague book about it because I'm beyond
that. I am a mistress of vague booking.
And so
having the worst day ever, feeling exasperated and hungry.
What's wrong? I don't want to talk about it. Yeah,
it's,
I know.
Like, I really don't want to discuss it on social media. You should just text me with hashtag what's your problem. So I can not Instagram it later.
Follow me. I'm on Instagram. Having the worst day. Quote of the day.
God, YOLO. I'm feeling ugly and fat today. Right. Hashtag can't handle it.
And so I put out like just like a simple tweet. And I wasn't even complaining. I was just like, dude, for the first time ever, I didn't get my loot crate. And I'm really sad. And I was sad about it. Because, like, most loot crates, when I see the reveal, because I usually get my loot crate actually delivered after somebody's already done an unboxing, so I know what's going to be in it by the time it gets to me. I was really bummed because this one had a bunch of things that I was really excited to get. Like, one was a blow-up crown. Right. So, like, better than the BK, aww, like, cheap ones that you get. But the thing that I really wanted to get my hands on desperately was it came with a pack of playing cards that were Princess Bride playing cards.
Oh, my God. That's so up your fucking alley.
Exactly. So, that's why I really was sad. Within, like, 3 minutes of sending my tweet out, somebody from the Loot Crate team was like, did you email us about it? And so, I DM'd them, and I was like, no, because the website said to go to my post office. My post office said, suck it. They were like, email us. So, I sent an email to the support team. Dude hits me back. He's like, what's your account? And so, I tell him my account. He's like, I'm sending you a new one.
Oh, so, people are so nice.
Big ups to Loot Crate's customer service. I might actually do like an unboxing of my next one now, and because you know I don't like doing videos because I always feel fat and ugly. But I think I'm gonna do an unboxing and I'll throw it out there on the Twitters and on the Facebook because I really appreciate like them hooking me up. And they quick expedited the FedEx to me as well. So I got it like 2 days later, which is awesome. So I've got my cards and I got my t-shirt and I got my crown and I feel like a pretty, pretty princess. So thank you, Team Loot Crate, for being awesome and doing what you do.
Oh, Loot Crate is the best.
Loot Crate is the best. So with that, I'm going to start the wrap-up. Make sure that you check out all the stuff that we write on our website, egmo.com/electricsisterhood. You will catch all of our big-name title stuff over there, editorials, just a crazy amount of content from the entire team. You will find our podcast as well as live event coverage and indie coverage at our home, which will always be our home, electricsisterhood.com. Make sure that you hit up our page every week because we put out brand new podcasts, new articles. Check out stuff that the whole team is writing, including our newest member, The Monk. Some great, great stuff coming out of her. So make sure that you jump on our page and grab that stuff. Take a listen to the other podcasts that are part of our podcast family because the family is strong. Oh, yes. We put out brand new episodes at the beginning of the week, typically on Mondays. You can get them in iTunes, either on your desktop or in the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for the Eshcast. You can also get it in Stitcher Radio. You will also find us over at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com. Check out the great shows going on over there. We love that community. We love being part of that community. So make sure that you support them because support is really what keeps us all going and doing what we do. So show some love.
It keeps my boobs up, so
that's actually just your bra. Now,
my bra supports me. Support.
Moving on. Other shows from our podcast family include No Borders, No Race, which you'll find at b3crew.com, which is held down by a homeboy, King Baby Duck. If you need beats for your feet, then make sure that you check out Geek Aggro. Great podcast. Great playlist put together by our homeboy Deuces Wild. On Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues.
Y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues Program. Call in live. Be part of his recap shows. The Game of Thrones stuff right now is so tight, guys. Trust me, you want to be a part of that. So make sure that you hit up the Issues Guy Issues Program.com. Also joining our network, the Structure Network. Whoop, whoop. So excited. The countdown is on. They are they are coming on and they're coming on strong, people. So make sure that you check out thestructurenetwork.com. Bookmark it now because coolness is going to be happening there. So I can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait. You know, doing things big. Doing it big. That's what's going on at ESH. So with that and all that stuff, hit us up on social, facebook.com/landofesh, on Twitter at ESH News. Follow us, like our stuff, comment on our stuff, ask us questions. We will respond, share stuff. If you got something you want us to check out or review on a show, let us know and we'll put it on the list. So, be awesome. With that, I'm going to turn to my sister and say, hey, yo, sis.
Yes?
What shit are you digging this week?
Sandals.
Sandals for the win.
I'm ready. I'm glad that we have the weather that allows us to wear sandals and let my feet breathe.
Word.
They be all, you know, claustrophobic up in my shoes.
And all then, winter long, because they're like, yeah. I can't get no sun. I'm like,
it's like extended winter here. Winter came and just beat the fuck out of Massachusetts.
It did.
Now my feet are like, oh my God, there's this thing called Air. I love it. So I'm digging sandals.
Word.
What are you digging this week?
I am digging bacon-wrapped pineapple stuffed with boneless ribs.
Oh my god, I saw that and I want to make that for
yeah, some. That's what I'm digging.
That's like, a win.
Just all all the meats and fruits and meats and fruits.
Meat and fruit. That's so fucking cool. But anyway.
So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next, guys.
Peace.